Hello and welcome to Fangamer Podcast numero 460, which is about embarrassing facets of game culture. This is a topic I myself chose, and you might notice there's no forum thread on it. We didn't want to come off as negative, so we're just going to keep the
We're gonna
anchor
do a whole show
within
about
this little threesome.
it.
And the members of the threesome are an exciting group of people. We have Garrett Arosa of the Rosa Salsa family at
Yes,
Whole Foods.
it's me who decided. I started writing it out like, man, this is really negative. This is gonna bring people down. We should just let them listen to it and not be able to participate in it in any more than listening.
It's
Completely
better
one-sided.
to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission.
Yeah. Did you learn that in
It's
your
true.
management class?
I learned that in from my father, I think, maybe, or my mother. It was one of them. They're
Or
both
Uncle Ben.
fun people. Uncle Ben Carignan.
Carignan.
And that's our third host, Ben Carignan.
Yeah.
Ben?
Also known as the chief birdwalk
That's right. I'm the chief ghost type
officer.
officer.
Well, I didn't have a good one. I just made up dumb ones. Chief podcast officer. I don't want to be that. Can I be
No, you
Chief Admiral Odama officer?
Yeah, Chief Officer, Admiral Adama Officer.
Yeah. Get as many titles in there as I can.
He's chief of just like clenching his fist and being
And
so mad.
drooling. Wow.
The,
I'm not a
yeah.
Cylon.
Yeah, Chief Officer, Admiral Adama Officer. You know what?
I
Do
like
it.
it.
I love it.
I like it.
It's not quite Chief Birdwalk Officer, because.
No. But I mean, you can only reach so high, and I'm at the top.
It's
So.
true. So Ben, as birdwalk officer, do you get a girlfriend who is a bird?
I didn't notice she was a bird, but
I didn't notice that.
I guess now we're gonna bring out a turkey to the table and
I was
she's gonna shriek
listening.
and then we're gonna have a ballet dance for 8 minutes.
I was listening to last week's podcast. We really did talk about Carrie Lambier for a long time.
Yeah, we
Yeah,
did.
it's excessive.
You know what I
You get the
named,
time
like,
paradox.
when I edit, just to give like a little behind the scenes here for the people, when I
Uh-oh.
edit and I find like a clip that isn't in like the main block of the podcast, I always export it as something of a different file name that like basically sums up what's going on. And that little bit at the end there of Garrett talking about the Carrie Lambier and it was titled Garrett is really creepy. Dot wave.
Yeah.
Dot wave.
I could name my whole hard drive Garrett is really creepy. He's just a weird dude.
Yes.
Whatever.
Well, okay. Again, since we have all of our podcast stuff mostly figured out, I feel like I never talk to you guys anymore, except for watching
I
Fan
think we should
Fest.
change that. We should
Well,
change that.
we should, but it gives us lots to talk about here at the what you've been playing slash up to since the last podcast segment, because I want to talk about the Two Player Productions Penny Arcade TV that Ben got in the mail just the other
Oh, yeah.
day, because I watched the
Yeah.
crap out of that, and we can talk about it. And Liz, she's talked to those guys like two or three times now on the podcast.
That's well, I missed the one. I think I've only talked to them the one time.
Okay, it's basically the same.
She just didn't care to be there the second time.
I had a somewhat legitimate excuse. I think I was sick or something. But
She was on a
anyway,
booze cruise.
I oh yeah.
Sweet, sweet. The memories. Oh, yeah.
Stupid booze cruise. Yeah, I'm not sacrificing my turn though, because I want to talk about the Pokemon Dream World.
Well, Ben, you've been watching the Two Player Productions makes Penny Arcade TV. Did you pre-order and get the one that has the signatures all over the front?
I did, and I remember tweeting about this that like I bought it immediately as I saw the tweet that it would be signed, thinking that it was going to be signed by the Two Player Productions guys, and then I read it and I was like, oh.
Who's it
Then
signed
like I
by?
thought about it and I was like, why would they sign it?
Yeah, all the Penny Arcade guys. They should have been able to sign the back or something. I would have liked that. You
Wait a
know what?
minute.
I'm gonna bring my copy with me to Portland this weekend. I'm gonna get
All
them to
right.
sign
Hold on. I wanna argue and be the
I want
devil's
a
advocate.
banner.
Why would you want Two Player Productions to sign it? Why would you not
That's the
want the Penny
point. Like that.
Arcade guys to sign it?
Exactly. That was the realization that I came to. At
Yeah.
first, I was like, "Well, yeah, of course they'll sign it because like I saw the tweet from Two Player Productions." Then after I realized they weren't, I was disappointed. But then I realized, I'm stupid.
Yeah,
What
that
am I thinking?
I'm trying to think of what that would be analogous to.
Well, come
to.
On, like, Steven Spielberg signs a DVD of E.T., and so does the little kid.
Yeah, true.
Spielberg is a tremendously huge name, though. It would be like, God, I don't know, getting... I can't even think of a movie with, like, a no-name director with very popular actors. Or, yeah, like, getting a Harry Potter DVD signed by the director. Like,
yeah,
really? You clearly want the goofy kid and the hot girl to sign it.
after talking to those guys several times now, watching it, like, in fact, it's really affected the way I watch kind of anything. I really think a lot more about how things are put together and shot after talking to them extensively so many times. But there's a lot of content in those DVDs. Have you been able to explore it, Ben?
Like, I don't know if there are, like, Easter eggs or anything.
There are.
In these
DVDs. So you haven't got to
are
those.
There?
Oh,
no,
the
I still haven't found it in Reformat the Planet or any of the Blipfest DVDs either. But even just thinking about, like, those extra scenes that sometimes come with the episode, they go on a little long sometimes.
Yeah, they do. And it's very – it's still fun, though, but, like
– yeah, I really enjoy that.
The Easter eggs, for anyone who's buying it, you should – it's easy to do it on a computer because you can use your mouse to just kind of wave around the screen. But if you can get your cursor over to the bottom right area – that's where the Easter egg initiator is for each disc. And it's this awesome Scott Kurtz, just Scott Kurtz Chronicles, him talking about just everything. And it's really endearing. And they joke about doing a Scott Kurtz TV next. And I think they should because he's a really cool guy. He's probably my new favorite of all the people who were involved in that project. So you had never seen it before, even online?
No, and I bought it because I'm a blind fanboy of Two Player Productions, I guess, but I don't regret it.
Do you think if Two Player Productions runs out of money, they'll do a Control-Alt-Delete TV?
You should ask him.
I hope so.
The Life and Times of Tim Buckley. I will.
I don't know. I would
pay anything to see that.
Comic video game... internet comic people are like their only medium anymore, but
VG Cats TV. This is Cats Heiress.
So you've been watching through that. There's a lot of commentaries, a lot of deleted scenes. I've been enjoying it a lot. It took me probably a good week to get through all the content off and on while I've been kind of working and listening to it in the background. So it's been really good. Did you get to the new hire stuff? I think you did, right?
I did.
So what did you think after seeing both the deleted scenes and then the show, like, about that whole process of how they hired people?
Well, first of all, I felt really bad for that Matt guy because, like, I can only imagine him, like, watching it after it came out
listening
and just, like, crying
commentary.
In his room. Yeah.
What did they say about him?
In the commentary, they're all like, "We're sorry, Matt," just over and over. And then they make jokes about how... I probably shouldn't say it, but jokes about how he probably went back to the hotel room to hang himself after that part. And then they're like, "Paul, don't say that." He's like, "Oh, you're right. Sorry, Matt. Sorry, buddy." Which is really sad because, like, there's these moments that didn't make it into the show where you actually kind of see what the guy is normally like when he's not scared out of his brains. And he's like, "Oh, he's kind of a funny guy, actually. That's too bad."
Who, Gabe or the kid who hung himself?
The kid who interviewed for the job. But didn't do exceptionally well, so, yeah.
Ah.
But it also, watching the episode makes me want, they should do, or does it exist already, actual video game-themed Pictionary. You guys ever heard of that? Mm-hmm. Like, actually being in existence? Because I think they had to make that special for the actual interview.
They probably did. I wasn't aware of. I'm not following the Pictionary blog.
Pictionary scene?
No.
You're not following them on Twitter, not Facebook.
I fell out of it as of late. I used to be much more involved.
I mean, what would it take? You would just print out a bunch of cards with video game characters and stuff on it.
It would be a bit more involved than you first realized. Most of those things.
I mean, it's like Conopoly. Completely exclude everyone else who's listening who's never been to a Starman.net con. Essentially, Brian just, like, taped Starman.net or names all over a Monopoly board.
To give a little background, I won Conopoly.
Oh, you
that's
did.
Wait, make sure I heard this right. So it's a normal Monopoly board. But instead of like Park's Place, it'd be Dios Padre's Place or Falcon 24 Street.
He was the purple one, Falk, the like the lowest value one. And I think the highest value boardwalk is EB Rocks.
Yeah.
And it goes around like that. The girls are all the yellow properties, which won me the game.
I'm up there with Bill. And like when I saw that at my first convention, I was still like kind of a noob. So like I was so excited. I was like super honored.
What do you
wanted
mean
to cry.
You were kind of a noob?
Well, I guess I still am a noob.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
You weren't supposed to relent. You were supposed to be like, no, shut up. I'm awesome.
No, shut up. I'm the best.
Don't take it lying down. That just bums me out. Gotta get up. Fisticuffs.
Watch me get my bird walk, Liz.
I've seen it. It's really good.
So, I've been watching through that, but Liz, tell us about whatever it was that I was totally going to remember so that the segue wasn't awkward like it is now.
Oh, it's so awkward. It's so uncomfortable. I feel like I should pause and add crickets, but...
You are editing, so you can do whatever you want with this.
I'll add the water cooler crickets. All right. I would like to talk about the Pokemon Black and White Dream World, which Ben would know what I was talking about if he had more free time and was able to beat the game. Actually, you could log on and do it now, but anyway...
What is this Pokemon Dream World, Liz?
The Pokemon Dream World works where the latest version of Pokemon... I'm opening my DS as if you can see it, by the way, and holding it up to the screen. But
you could turn on video if you upgraded Skype. We got group video now.
Well, I'm sure your connection would do really well with that.
There. Yeah, it would. Let's go.
Your computer would just start, like, peeing the bed.
No, my computer would be okay. My connection, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Anyway, the way the Dream World works is you put a Pokemon in your cartridge to sleep. Like, you say to the little Pokemon, okay, it's time for you to go to bed. And instead of sleeping, per se, it logs on to the internet, to a website, the Dream World, and you can log into the Dream World on your computer. And your Pokemon pops up, and you can play all these fun mini games. And he makes Pokemon friends that you can bring back to your cartridge. These friends are Pokemon you wouldn't normally catch in the game. So it's like, I gotta go log on the Dream World once every 24 hours and bring back all these little friends to my cartridge, and then catch them once they've arrived.
Oh, so you don't—they don't come pre-made in little Pokeballs ready to go into the box. They
oh no,
they just like. How does this work? They just appear in the world now randomly, or
no? You get sent to the Hylink Forest. Ooh, it's a forest. Ooh. Pokeball spoiler.
Well, man, Mudbastard, if you're out there, you should be taking notes right now.
Oh yeah, get ready, man.
No, this is useful information, dude.
But actually, you walk into the Hylink Forest by selecting the wireless connection button on your Game Boy, and you go in and you can catch the Pokemon with any ball, and it'll work like a Master Ball. But the exciting thing about the Dream World is that the Pokemon have certain abilities they wouldn't have otherwise, like a Tangela that regenerates health when you switch it out. It's very
exciting.
Yeah,
ooh.
It is exciting. Tangela is suddenly good now. But
would that work with like that one bug move that switches you out? Like moves that switch you out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if
it
gets you turn, but yeah, it would. It would be sick. But to get to the crux of my story, since I realized the previous stuff was not that compelling... This is very hard to do since all of this is in Japanese. The game is in Japanese, the website is in Japanese. And when you start uploading and downloading things from cartridge to computer, there is very little margin for error. I had to sign up for this and receive emails in Japanese with Japanese instructions telling me how to proceed next. And you can only log into the Dream World once every 24 hours, so if you're a few minutes early... You'll get a pop-up window that, in all Japanese, is telling you you have to wait a few minutes. But there's two buttons you can click, and they're not yes and no, so you don't know what they are. One of the buttons is to kick your Pokemon out of the Dream World and not try again for another 24 hours.
Why is that a button?
I don't.
Why is that a button?
I don't know why that would be a button, but I made that mistake and then had to run crying to something awful and be like, why did it send back my silly pants lizard?
Wait, is that his name or is that just what you call that type of Pokemon?
His name is Zoroguru, I think, but he's just a little lizard whose pants are falling down.
Yep.
He's silly. And his pants
he's
are
real
still...
hood.
He is very hood. He's so... He's in the Latin Kings, last I checked.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, well, what I was going to ask is, for both of you, has anyone been playing any games besides Pokemon? Not that I don't love Pokemon like you guys do.
Clearly you don't.
We really could use another game besides that.
You want to buy me one?
No, I actually sort of have one. It's not Minecraft either, I promise.
Okay.
Well, I mean, this sort of ties in with what I've been doing aside from watching the Penny Arcade series. And I won't go too deep into it just for the sake of time. But actually, we'll end this later because it very well ties in with our subject this week. I went to an anime convention this past weekend.
Oh, well, there we go. That's, and, that's nerdy for you, Liz.
Yeah, that's an embarrassing for game culture. You.
It is. We'll delve deeper into it later. But while I was there, I love the Animal Crossing series, as many of you know. And I don't know what's wrong with me, but while I was there, I saw the original Japanese game for the Nintendo 64. And I bought it just because I wanted it. I just wanted, you know, every entry in the series. So I was like, yeah, I need to get that.
Well, that
and I
worked.
Did. And I've actually been... I have a converter that also can...
Wow, he's really going high up on his nerd cred here.
Yeah, come on, yeah. Even my better half had a converter on his GameCube.
You guys are still more nerd scale than I am, then.
Yeah.
You know what? We make nerd shirts.
Good ones, though. They don't look outwardly nerdy.
Well, sure, but...
They're subtle.
It's essentially still the same. We make nerd shirts for nerdy people. I don't think any of us can like be like, oh, you're more nerdy than me.
Yeah, it's true. I did get called antisocial today.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a rough day, but I'm old enough that I was just like, you know what? I am antisocial, and you can deal with it. I don't really want to be your friend.
That's a pretty antisocial response.
It is a pretty antisocial response, but I don't really feel like going to every single Thirsty Thursday, so call me antisocial if I don't want to be miserable on Friday.
Just tell your friends you couldn't get drunk because you were recording a podcast.
You know what? I did tell them that once. It didn't go over well. They were already pretty messed up, and they were like, a podcast? What? What are you doing?
It's like when I first told my parents I was on a podcast and my grandma was over, and like they thought I was talking about like space aliens. So like they're like, oh, he's talking to his pod friends right now. What is a pod friend?
Did you explain it to them what it is? Like I had explained it to my parents once because I was actually at their house recording more than once.
I've never had to explain it that much to my parents. I remember
your dad listens to the podcast. He's a sponsor. No.
There is a short story about this. I remember explaining IRC to my dad when I was like 13, and I think my mom was worried about how much time I spent on the internet, but my dad said, like, when I was Liz's age, all me and my friends did was go to the corner store and steal creamsicles. So I'm just happy.
Awesome.
Like, of all the things to steal, like, yeah,
I would have loved to do that.
Creamsicles.
Internet or petty larceny? You choose.
I think in 1963 that was a lot easier than it is now.
Oh man, you guys, I actually have something for Fangamer News, and we decided to transition to that because a certain something that we've wanted to talk about for weeks has finally come out.
All right, let's do Fangamer News then, and we'll do Charlie's audio candy in the meantime. Woo!
Hello everybody, this is Charlie, your friend, bringing you the Audio Candy segment again. Now if there's anything in geekdom that I tend to steer clear, then I guess nerdcore rap is something I would rather not hear. It often isn't music, they're just dropping a beat, spouting off nerd references like that's some kind of feat. But every now and then you find a rapper with style, so I give them another chance every once in a while. The Adventures of Dwayne and Brando was an act I could like, but then they had a spat I guess, so one took a hike. It's a little bit of drama that I won't explore, I'm just a little sad they're not together no more. This track covers Threeden Winters from Earthbound, listen closely to see what I like about their sound. Personality and the characters, yeah that's strange from a rap group, but that was standard fare for them, plus creative music loops. Just check it.
Around and hope they leave.
Okay.
make me hit you with my baseball bat. We've got a long way to go, and we can't stop now. We gotta make it to the first time for our time runs out. Let's head over to the hotel, try and get some sleep, call my dad, see my game, and get something to eat.
Wait, ask for help, there's a zombie to ghost.
Oh no, we're toast.
Where are we at?
Well, I don't know.
I'm scared.
Well, I would've done something, but I wasn't prepared. There has to be a way to get out of this cave. Use your telepathy for some help.
Okay, there's a guy up in Winters who can help us out. His name is Jeff. I'll give him a shout.
Well, give him a call. What can it hurt, I guess?
Shh. Be quiet, Ness.
I had the strangest dream. Some gum, monkey. Here you go. Check me out. Look at me go. I'm riding on top of Tessie's skull. I got the shit under control. I got my pocket protector, no pencil. I make my way through Stonehenge. So what if I got little to no friends? This is my crazy story. What's this? A laboratory?
Email questions, comments, and suggestions to me, Charlie, at fangamer.com. And no, I'm not proud of myself.
Fangamer news. Third time's a charm, as I always say. FanFest, happening right now, in the past for you, present for us. The Far From Subtle guys who do video games awesome, awesome video games. Fraser, Deacon, Ben who's leaving, and the other guy whose name...
Ben. Kyle.
Kyle. Hosting on their sweet, sweet setup. They have a green screen in the background, a couch. The thing kind of was not actually projecting there, but it looks like it's projected out in front of them.
Yeah.
Their community is huge and crazy. They have around, I think the stream topped off around 1,200 people, mm-hmm. which is the most we've ever gotten, even when we were on the front page of Ustream.
Yeah. Yes. And I'll say, it's a big deal, man. 1,100 of those people really liked saying the word deacon.
Yeah,
they want him to do a dance.
Yeah, and he did a little deacon shuffle there, which was pretty sweet.
And I just wanted to mention, like, have you guys ever seen, like, Video Games Awesome or Awesome Video Games?
I have not, but now I'm compelled to.
The only one I watched was after we met them at PAX, and we went to their their little party they had. And I say little not because, like, it was a crappy party. It was that – it was literally, like, small. Like, they had this hotel room that was a suite. But you think suite, you're thinking humongous. It's, like, the size of someone's living room where they had a crap ton of people, like, wedged into this little room. And they had us come out, and we didn't know what hotel it was at. So we got lost and went to the wrong hotel and had to walk or hike around Seattle for a while. Anyway.
But I did. I went to a boring concert. Cry more. But, yeah, no, like, the point of me asking that –
Yeah, anyway, you got into the concert. I would say, yes, I have seen an episode they did. They were playing Red Dead Redemption with some code, and all they were doing was lassoing guys into, like, this, like, like in front of, like, a train track to try and get the guys to get run over, which was pretty awesome. Yeah. It makes me want to play that game.
It was. But, yeah, I was just going to say that if you watched their stream on Wednesday, like, you would notice that their setup is almost like perfectly exactly like their Video Games Awesome setup, except for the fact that, like, the game window doesn't have a little glow around it. Aside from that, like, they replicated it perfectly and it was awesome. Everyone die?
No, what? I was just playing with my dog.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Pokemon.
Wow. See, this just seems the fact that I always just talk about things, and you guys are like, oh, you just said that. What's the...
No, I was like, this
I'm sorry.
I was like, no, no. I was like, no. Ben's doing really good now. I'm going to let him talk. Wow, he's okay. I'm going to, oh, how you doing, dog? And I was like, oh, you're so cute. You're such a little corgi. And that's what happened. Sorry, Ben. Sorry. We're leaving this in. Anyway.
Yeah. We're going to record scratch and rewind. Like,
All right. I had the pleasure of going again Friday, and I have a funny story to tell because we thought that having the cart in Seattle meant that it would be easier for it to get up to wherever these guys are in Canada. I think it's Vancouver or BC or somewhere close to that. So we thought we were being really smart, and we to be even smarter, to make sure it gets there, we actually FedExed the package this time instead of using the Postal Service, which cost an arm and a leg, by the way. But
I believe it.
If you actually look at the tracking label of where it physically went, it's so depressing because it goes from Seattle, the cart literally goes from Seattle all the way to Memphis, Tennessee. And
what?
Then all the way back from Memphis, Tennessee up to Canada, where it was supposed to go originally. So it's like, what was the point of having it come to Seattle again? We could have had it go anywhere. So
that was pretty stupid.
That was, yeah. So lesson learned, if you're going to FedEx something, it really doesn't matter where you're at this point, unless you're in Memphis, Tennessee. So
yeah, if you're sending from Knoxville to Gatlinburg, enjoy your expedient service.
Yeah, pretty much. So, anyway, they're going right now. Their cast has been really entertaining, though, watching the beginning of it. They they do really good voiceovers.
They do.
I wish I could do a sweet voice like that. Liz, you do fun voices because you practiced them for a while, right? I think I remember you telling me this once.
I used to do voices a lot when I was a kid. Yeah, that's deja vu talking, Garrett. I can do voices okay, but I think I probably got more self-conscious about it as I got older. Like, I used to do fun cartoon voices as a kid, but then you realize,
you need to,
like,
fly your inner nerd flag, or let your
freak flag fly. What's so hard to say about that?
Okay. Oh, and also, in
I think I'm
gamer,
decent with voices.
Let's say anyway. Also in Fan Gamer News, before I forget, is Bill really gonna make us an intro? Like, for real?
Everything
after
that email
you have to ask.
Yeah, maybe his email was just like, that was it. That was all the effort.
Yeah,
I was
gonna say, is that what he's like? That's all you get, guys. This sweet, sweet email.
I feel like it would be insulting to ask him if his email was for real. Like, I
think we would get an equally entertaining email back, though. I think you should do it.
We probably
what
would.
If we recorded a WAV file of the three of us singing in a three-part harmony? Are you for real? And
are
then
you
sent
for
that
real?
To him. Yeah.
Ben, now you go low. Ben, now you go low.
Wait, what? Oh, we were actually doing this?
Well, no, I sang and Garrett sang it, and it would
way
be
way to ruin the joke.
You're supposed to, like, be quick enough. Come on,
he's
boom,
just
boom.
Doing it because we didn't respond to him after he was quiet last time.
I guess we deserve
payback.
It.
This is your my
payback. Yeah. So anyway, back to FanFest. We have important news to share with you all. It is time to finally, after at least 3 weeks of hinting at it, to release the EB FanFest combo pack.
We're doing things a little differently this week on the Fangamer podcast. Rather than do a back and forth summary of the products in the EB FanFest combo pack, like we would usually do, we've decided to do a pre-recorded segment about the most recent product release. The reasons for this are twofold. One, we wanted to make sure that you, the listener, has the most up-to-date and accurate information, and two, we did a regular record, and it turned out to be terrible. For the sake of good radio, we decided to spare your ears of our garbled words and do a separate segment later. The EB FanFest combo pack is comprised of four parts: the Runaway Brothers shirt, the Runaway tour poster, the Boing Zoom pin set, and the Starman hoodie. The Runaway Bros shirt is our tribute to our favorite Runaway Band of Five, a tribute that comes in three exciting colors and fabrics: navy with cotton, black 50-50, and red tri-blend, the first of its kind in our store, with a blend of polyester, cotton, and rayon. Considering how much we loved the 50-50 shirt, the tri-blend has to be that much better. The next item, the Runaway Tour poster, provides a handy list of the places the Runaway Bros would have visited had their tour not run into some fortunate roadblocks along the way. The poster is 9 inches by 24 inches and printed with 3 ink colors on high-quality Nina paper. Next up is the Boing Zoom pin set. This pin set chronicles the life and times of the Saturn Man and his people in multi-shaped pin form. The set contains the square Master Gyork and Fly Honey, and the circular Saturn Coffee and the Stupid Pin wild card, with 3 stupid options. No, I'm actually not making up those names. They are, in fact, stupid options. Last, and by no means least, is the Starman hoodie, a long-awaited successor to our Starman track jacket. The hoodie is a high-quality ITC brand, much like the Snowwood hoodies released previously. I know this because in the original recording, we argued about this for 15 minutes. This hoodie comes in 2 colors, Ghost Black and Charcoal. The Ghost Black is a heavier weight, and the Charcoal is a lighter weight fabric. The Ghost Black also comes in women's cut with a medium fabric weight. All of the hoodies have been inked by Forward Printing and embroidered by our regular embroiderer, Clarissa's Embroidery. Outside of the combo pack is one final item, the Kraken Polo. Garrett himself has been asking for years for us to do a polo, and if people like it enough, we might even buy him a candy bar. The polo material is a jersey knit with pearlized buttons and relaxed sleeves, and has a Kraken logo direct embroidered on the chest. The polos run a bit small due to their fashionable nature, so order a size up for the best possible fit. That's it for the EB FanFest combo pack and the Kraken polo. I hope you enjoyed this segment of me helping you out with some new exciting product information. And if you didn't, please don't tell me, because this took me 8 takes and about an hour. So let's hope it goes well.
So, to pick up off the FanFest again here, Liz, for editing purposes, so that we have a little more content for that instead of just the, I don't know how long we talked about it, but however long we did. So, when I was doing my FanFest, Technomaniac, do you guys remember this guy? He commented on our stuff from time to time.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
He's the Marlo Stanfield.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, Technomaniac lives in the Seattle area and goes to DigiPen as a student.
You gonna make a friend?
Who knows? Maybe. If he likes to drink beverages of the adult variety.
Maker's Mark.
I'm always down for that.
Oh, God. So good.
You can discuss your favorite IPA.
Ugh. IPA. Do you like IPAs, Liz?
Not really.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you'd be more manly than I am if you like IPAs. Did you guys see at the beginning of the Far From Subtle cast when the pizza guy calls them?
That was really nice.
That was totally Nat's idea. He's like, we should order them a pizza and then save.
Yeah, they didn't get the pizza. That's so sad.
Yeah, they were inside. But they still appreciated it.
That was funny. FanFest goes on. Liz, when's your point coming up here?
November 29th off the top of my head. Some a ways away. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So
29th.
By the time people have listened to this, Anne has gone. And I think we're getting close to break time, actually. And then Crystal will be going in there soon. And Brian, because we're over on the East Coast again. Oh, and then the Nerdy Show guys will be up pretty soon, too, actually.
Are they on a Wednesday, too?
I don't know which day of the week they're on, but I know that they are on the East Coast leg. So they're at least 3 or so points, maybe after Anne. So anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to be super pissed on Wednesday.
If it's on a Wednesday again, we'll have to reschedule podcast reporting just so Ben can watch the FanFest.
It's everyone I'm like super passionate about watching is on Wednesday. Not to say I'm not super passionate about everyone else, and I just
like
dug
the
myself
2 times
in the hole.
I went. Let's move on. That makes sense. Yep.
Well, Garrett, you kind of devalued your brand by making it accessible to too many people.
That was some great business lingo right there.
Yeah.
Brand devaluation.
Brand devaluation's a big deal, man. That's what's killing places like Tiffany and Coach. Think on it.
First world problems.
Those are third world problems. You think first world people are making those products? Hell no. You're putting people out of work when you start devaluing those brands.
Okay.
But so, I digress.
Yes, we digress. Fan gamer news done? I think so. Show topic is embarrassing gaming / nerd culture. Take it away, Liz.
Embarrassing gaming / nerd culture. There are things in nerd culture we're all a little ashamed to tell
Liz
our parents.
Liz has got some grievances.
It's not necessarily that I have some grievances, but it's one of those things where your parents are like, oh, you're into video games, or oh, you're into anime or whatever, and you try to explain it to them, but then they bring up, like, I've heard about hentai on the news, and you're like,
no.
Or with games, they're like, don't children just call each other mean words on Halo, and it's like,
like, it's 100%
the,
true.
Yeah, it's like the kind of stuff, like, when you try and explain to people why you like these...
The things that make you embarrassed to tell people that you play video
games.
Exactly. Okay, like, I've got your concept now.
Yeah. Like, example, you tell people you like Pokemon, they think you're a child molester. Is there, like, a 1% probability that they're right? Yeah. But...
1%, that might be a small... It might be a lot bigger than that.
All right, like,
I actually have a lot more to say about this than I thought, then.
Yeah, now that you phrase it that way, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, particularly about the anime convention I just went to.
Everyday anime.
Break it down, Ben.
Ben, start it up.
Anime swag. All right, well, this weekend I went to NekoCon, an anime convention, and it was actually a really good time. I'll start out with the positives. Because, like, there were some people who actually had a Fangamer there, and someone recognized me as Catan from Fangamer, and I was so excited.
Wait, not from Radio PSI, not from Starman.net, but from this?
No, from Fangamer. It's been crazy. This is the first time that's ever happened.
Like, I've been recognized for, like,
that is Catanesty. Like, wow. I've been recognized as, like, DJ Catan, like, Five Is an Orange Guy and stuff, like, a couple times.
So that was listener number 43. Woo!
Yeah, it was. But there was someone knew about me from Radio PSI and stuff. That was all good. All good. And I don't know, it was overall a really good time because I met some new friends and I got Animal Crossing stuff and I'm a total nerd. I also got a bunch of Pokemon plushies, but we're not gonna talk about that.
Wait. After
what
the Pokemon? Show.
Pokemon plushies.
What'd you get for me?
I
didn't get anything for you. Okay. We'll talk about this. I got a Giratina. It is the cutest thing in the world.
Is it one of the Poke Dolls with, like, the smiling face?
No, it's actually a Banpresto, but it's still, like, really tiny and adorable.
Aww.
So I got another Banpresto, which is the Zoroark little guy. And I got it because it was the only Gen 5 plushie that exists right now. But it was so...
Oh, Giratina's the devil Pokemon.
Yeah!
Yeah,
imagine being really cute. That's the plushie.
I love.
I'll have to take a picture of it. But actually, I have one. I'll show it to you.
I just found out there's a plush of Lawnmower Rotom.
Oh, really?
I want to give it to Penny have her mow my rug with it.
That is pretty cute, but man, some of these are kind of terrifying. Like, this must be the action figure. It's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, I actually have a little statue from when I pre-ordered Platinum. He's a kind of scary. But anyway,
But I digress.
I also got a Mr. Rossetti puppet, which is, like, the coolest thing in the world.
That's adorable also. Yeah. That's not an embarrassing part of game culture.
No, I was going to say, that is an embarrassing part of game culture. Plushies and people who are excited about them.
Yeah, body pillows is an embarrassing part of game culture.
Oh, God, there were so many body pillows.
Were there really?
So many.
So wait, Ben, explain to the people here who may not be nerdy enough to know what a body pillow is.
A body pillow, a.k.a. Dakimakura, is a pillow that's, like, really long. It's, well, I mean...
The length of a girl's body, specifically.
Sure, a length of a tiny girl's body, a young, illegal girl's body. And usually, they have pillowcases that feature anime girls in very...
Various states of undress.
Various states of undress. I even saw one. It had two anime girls in one. And I figured, like, if you get that, you're twice as unlonely as you were before. It's, like, such a bargain. But, like, there were tons and tons of these body pillows everywhere. And I can't even think of what people would do with these.
Wow.
Really? You can't think of what people...
No,
there's a reason
it's
in pillowcases, because it's washable, buddy.
Don't they have one? I swear I saw, like, in Kotaku where, like, if the case gets warm, it, like, changes, like, what they're wearing. Kind of like one of those pins.
What?
Like the, no.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know how there's those pens that, like, when you turn it upside down, the changes? The clothes fall off. Yeah, therefore. Yeah. It's like that, but a body pillow and on body heat.
I can just imagine some idiot going and taking their pillowcase and tossing it over the grill. Why won't their clothes come off?
So that's definitely, okay, there's one embarrassing aspect. What else you got from the convention that's like that, Ben? More.
Yeah, I have, I guess, two more points to hit, and I'll let you guys talk. There are raves at these things.
Oh, what?
And there's, I really don't want to sound too judgmental when I say this.
Wait,
because I know
rave?
Actually,
you mean, yes. Raves themselves are things that people should be a bit ashamed of. Like, if you're in a rave culture, the same way I have to kind of feel embarrassed to like video games, people who are into raves and house music are the same way.
Yeah, because it's that time has passed. Maybe there was a time it was acceptable when it was counterculture, but now it's like.
But I'll tell you what, there's never been a time before. Have you ever heard of things called cyber falls or dread falls or hair falls or any other variant?
I have not heard of any of those falls.
Okay. They're essentially the plastic tubes you wear in your hair, and they can be like multicolored, and they essentially look like rainbow dreadlocks.
Oh, I've seen those on people.
Yeah, I've seen many of these this past weekend. And I really don't want to like be too judgmental of this because, I know people.
Yeah, we don't need the predicate, or not the predicate, the preamble.
Like, this is the judgmental podcast. That's why I didn't want
to
do it.
I don't want to like alienate anyone who might actually be into that, because honestly, I don't know too much about it. But what I do know is that walking down the hallway, like past the ballroom where they called it a dance just because they wanted to like get away from, I don't know, rave references or whatever. Going down the hallway, you could smell the collective funk of all of these kids halfway down the hallway.
Yeah.
It was really, really bad. I have never, like, you know, people normally joke about like con funk and people stinking because they don't shower and all that stuff, but this was extravagantly bad.
Are there dreadlocks under the piping for that? Like under the tubes? Is it like the hair dreaded?
No, like it basically, you know how people wear like ribbons in their hair?
Yeah.
Place those with these ridiculous, tacky looking tubes.
Okay, because I was going to say, the thing with dreadlocks is I've had more than one dreadlock wearer tell me that the best way to keep your dreadlocks maintained is to spit in your hands and rub your hands together around the dreadlock to, like, solidify it with the spit, so that can be why it smells.
I actually don't have, like, a whole lot negative to say about regular dreadlocks, because, I mean, some people pull them off pretty well. I work with a guy with dreadlocks.
Some people do, as long as it's not made of too much spit. Like, halitosis, please don't do dreadlocks with your own spit.
If halitosis was, like, a noxious gas that, like, polluted the entire air, there are no words to describe how bad that smell was. Like, me and my friends actually, like, dared each other to go in there, and we did for, like, 5 minutes. And one of my friends, like, this poor girl, she got, like, the worst headache she's ever had just from standing in there. It was really, really bad. And I think it is a very embarrassing aspect of nerd culture. Why don't people think showering is necessary?
Man, you took mine.
People don't
I'm
shower.
Sorry, but
I didn't know where you were going.
No, you can expand upon it. Like, we can talk about this. Like, why?
Yeah, I was just going to say hygiene in general.
It's an optional thing for some people.
Hygiene in general, like, I mean, if you got some funk, there are some pretty easy ways to mitigate that. And the thing is that if you're into games aren't generally cheap. I mean, obviously, if you pirate a lot of stuff, that's true. But if you're a console gamer, for the most part, there's a fair amount of money you have to put down to partake in that hobby. So you have enough to buy a $50 game. Soap is like, what, $2 maybe? Some shampoo, $1.50?
Yeah,
a loofah.
I make it out of my own life.
You can go to the dollar store and get soap.
So yes, the funk at conventions. Like, my first real nerd like convention was PAX, and PAX is pretty well ventilated, but you can get to some corners there where, man, that is just some stink. And especially the shows, the concerts. Oh boy.
Yeah,
one of the reasons I don't go to those concerts is it's too body to body. Even like. even at bars with normal members of society.
Oh yeah, even that's rough.
Like being that close to people. I'm all about personal space, and those are just like a little close.
And I have to say, after this concert at the last PAX, where like it was in like an opera house with theater seating, I would prefer like the close quarters, like, I don't know, experience. And after NekoCon this past weekend, I definitely wouldn't mind the smell, but like it still is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good one, Ben. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that while you talked about that, I would think of one besides the one that you just brought up. So that was all I really
had. No. I actually
You have one more, right?
I had sort of an epilogue for the whole thing.
Oh, excellent.
My grandma came over the other day, and she heard about NekoCon on the news and saw all the people there. And she was so worried for me. Like, she was like, Ben, I know you. I know you're not weird. Please tell me that you don't go there and you don't do all these things. And I was like, Grandma, no, I don't. Please.
Except for my body pillow out of this. Yeah.
She didn't see my plushies, though. No one will ever see them.
Oh, yeah. You gotta hide them.
Gotta hide them. I actually, when one of my grandmothers comes up, well, my only other grandmother, when she comes up, she stays in my room, and I throw all my plushies under my bed because I don't want her to make fun of me.
Yeah, it happens, man. I've long since given up on letting the world think I don't own stuffed animals. I have a stuffed air bison from Avatar the Last Airbender.
Awesome.
His name is Appa, but due to some Chicago translation issues, his name became Appa, according to Matt. So he's become Apple. And he's my homeboy.
Oh man.
And part of growing up is accepting the fact that if you still like stuffed animals, let your freak flag fly.
Yeah, I actually, what are your best plushies, if we can talk about this embarrassing niche of nerd culture for a second?
I
think I have the best one.
When I was younger, like in my anime days, I had the whole suite of maybe like 8-inch Sailor Moon plushies. Like I had all of them. I had the inner Senshi, the outer Senshi, Tuxedo Mask,
nice.
Until my dog Striker ate him, but like he was expensive. Of all the ones to eat, I was all right with Tuxedo Mask.
Oh my gosh, the Appa plushie is $75.
No, that's not how much mine was.
Oh man, at least 20 inches though.
You know how much mine was actually? Mine was free because the only Avatar the Airbender plushies used to be sold at Paramount Kings Dominion, which is a theme park in Virginia. Ben, you may actually know about it.
Yeah, I love that place.
Yeah, Kings Dominion's pretty fun, but they were selling these plushies, and so to bring Something Awful back into the conversation, one person in Virginia on Something Awful found out about it and got the contact number for the store and just put it in a thread so that goons from all over the country could call the King's Dominion store and get an order for these plushies and say, like, hey, can you send me one Appa and one Momo? And they would, sure enough, this woman in the office, I guess, made some extra money shipping these up and selling them off to goons, but I got Appa and a Momo, and they just never charged my card.
Nice.
I don't know.
Like those
happened.
Plushies I got for you guys.
Yeah. Sometimes the Lord giveth, sometimes the Lord taketh away.
And it's always just plushies when he giveth, and when he takes it away, it's Ben's internet.
Yeah, it's a huge something.
I think you should get that lady to take your money so we can improve my internet here, Liz. Come on.
I don't even remember her name, I'm sure.
Maybe that lady runs Cox Cable. Maybe she needs that money.
Yeah, because she goes from working at a store at a theme park to running a cable conglomerate.
But yes, I think my favorite plushie, just to name this, if you've ever seen the Aquabats logo, it's like this little bat dude. I actually got Ipe on Simon.net. Shoutouts! To make one of those for my birthday, and it's adorable. And I think you guys should look that up, because that is cool.
That is adorable. I have some Eyes 5 plushies. Like, I love my phase distorter.
I actually have Lloyd.
Oh, you have a Dratini.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Dratini's cool.
That's all I got. I the only reason I still have it is just because it always sits somewhere in my office that I forget about it for a very long time. And when I go to move, I'm packing up everything else around it. I'm like, oh. Look at this. Oh, I didn't know this has been here the whole time. All right, and put it in the box and follows me around. I've had that since a very, very long time. I think my mom got it at like Is this possible that she got it at KFC?
Yeah, what? Like Burger King do different
toys? Yeah, like somebody did. Burger King. She went to like somewhere weird, like fast food, like, and got that for me.
Wait, it, you said it was a Dratini?
I have a Dratini, and she got my brother like a Vulpix, I think.
I am like 90% sure those were Burger King, and they came in Pokeballs, like big.
That got me recalled because some kids like choked on them.
Mm-hmm. Matt's confirming they were Burger King. Yeah, okay. I remember those.
See, for someone who didn't play much Pokemon, he totally knows a lot about Pokemon over there.
Didn't play much Pokemon. No. I played way too much Pokemon.
I meant Matt.
He's playing right now.
I know that, but like I thought he was like poo-pooing you for like playing all this Pokemon.
What we really need to know, though, because Matt, I feel like, has probably a lot of things of gaming culture and nerd culture that he finds
offensive.
Can you ask him real quick what his number
that
one
would be? Nice.
Would be?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Get him on.
I feel like you have a lot of stuff.
All right, let me turn around and ask him. Hold on just a sec. I'm going to unplug the headphones. Hey, Matt. Mm-hmm. We are doing a podcast on embarrassing facets of nerd culture. Would you be willing to come over and say what you think the worst thing about internet gaming nerd culture is?
It shouldn't take too long to think of something, I think.
No.
Did you hear that?
He said, I love you, Liz. I'm going to come over here.
No, he said, the problem with your question is I think the worst thing about gaming culture is this podcast.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. All right. Fair enough. That's what we deserve for action.
Are you feeling dependent yet, Liz? Because that was a neg. That was a grade A neg.
I'm so dependent on him after 5 years of negative treatment. God, he's even got my dog captured under his desk.
So that's a number two for the list, gaming podcasts.
gaming podcasts specifically done by Liz Garrett and Ben.
Been podcasting for 3.5 hours and you're on number two?
He's got a lot of criticisms. He's like those guys from the Muppets, the two old guys, except for just him.
I think I've told him. They were Marley and Marley in the Christmas show.
Mm. All right. I actually found... I can hear your sounds.
Oh, never mind.
All right, hold on.
I actually found the first season of The Muppet Show at this thrift store. I'm going to go buy it.
Would you find the first season? I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix.
Muppet Show.
That's a good show.
For $5.
Like back in the 70s when they had Bowie on as a guest star?
Maybe. So, Liz... What is you're the one who had some grievances to start with, though.
I have so many. Well, I would like to say my main grievance with nerd culture is pretty much, this is kind of sweeping, but anything that becomes a meme, I think ceiling cat, lol cats, any of those image macros that get run way into the ground drive me crazy. I was at the
Leroy Jenkins,
all those. I was at Millennium Park within the last 6 months or so, and there was a Scientology protest by, I guess, Anonymous is the name of that group, and they're walking around with billboards that have, the Ben Franklin or whoever, the ha ha ha, I'm using the internet, and there's, they're handing out a pamphlet that says Ceiling Cat is watching you practice Scientology, and it's I hate you so much.
Why? Why do you hate that?
Because it's because nobody outside of their little bubble finds it funny. And it's barely funny when contained on 4chan, for example. But when you start marching around in the park where decent folk are trying to eat their lunch, it's...
The internet doesn't have a place in the real world, is what you're trying to say.
Not in that sense.
Not that side of it, no.
No, people have a real problem. And I think we're guilty of this sometime on the podcast.
The cake is not a lie.
What I was going to say is people don't realize the in-jokes aren't funny to other people around them. And I think memes are these, crystallized, isolated in-jokes that just everybody accepts as funny, even though, maybe three people found them funny. And it just became this vicious cycle of anti-humor.
Is it? So it's the affront to humor. It's the affront to cleverness that bothers you.
Thank you.
That
makes
sense.
That very well.
Well, because I was why does Liz hate this so much when Liz is pretty funny? It's because it's the opposite of funny. It's when you've taken something funny, and it all about funny is knowing timing. When
it's the Carlos Mencia of internet comedy.
Oh, God.
There.
There you go.
It's so, just...
Yeah. It's like when you watch Dave Chappelle, and you watch the first season, and it's great, and then a bunch of people find out about it, and then they start saying, what? Okay. Yeah. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when Chappelle would try and do a stand up later and people would just start yelling in the crowd, like, do Rick James. I'm Rick James. Like, he let the man make more funny stuff. Don't make him parrot the same stuff over and over. And it's just the repeating of the same joke. And I know I did it when I was younger. I used to just quote stuff all the time. And now my material may not be any good, but damn it, at least it's fresh.
Okay, that was a good one. What's next? I have a couple.
There's one actually facet of game culture that I think some people would say is very embarrassing, but I genuinely find funny, and that is going out of your way to harass people who are really into the games they're playing. Like my primary example of this would be a few years back, maybe when World of Warcraft first launched, there was a guild who had a girl in their guild die in real life. Very sad, very tragic. And so they decided to hold an in-game funeral in PvP territory.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
They sent out a letter saying, nobody attack us in this territory. We're holding a service.
Why do you do that in PvP territory?
People are gonna attack them.
Yeah, of course they get attacked. And like somebody tapes the raid and they put crazy music over it. And there's people dying. And I find that stuff hysterical. I think that is just the funniest thing in the world. And does that make you a bad person? Yeah, it probably does. Is it an embarrassment?
I'm a really sympathetic person, so like a part of me is like, oh, I'll leave those people alone, but at the same time it still is funny.
Yeah.
And like there are instances of that like in everyday life, because I'll admit this little embarrassing facet of myself, that I play dancing games like Dance Dance Revolution and stuff like that. But I wear deodorant, so I guess it's not that embarrassing.
Yeah.
But sometimes when my friends play, like we play at this arcade at the beach, and like there's a big window next to the DDR machine. And sometimes people are just being jerks, and they come and like they bang on the window while people are playing. And my friend and his girlfriend, they get so mad about it, and like it ruins their mood for the rest of the night. Like, are you serious? Like, look what you're doing right now. You're like flailing around on some panels, and you're getting mad because they banged on the window.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would be
It always comes up. Like, there was this guy we met. Like, I met, and I thought he was cool, like, at this arcade that closed down recently. But Melvin, my friend, not to call him out or anything, but, like, he pulled me aside. He was like, I know that guy. He was a jerk, man. He knocked on the glass when I was playing DDR1. Oh, not cool, man. Not cool. And like, he was an alright guy. And just stuff like that. I find it hard to understand why people get that serious about it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're out there to have fun, and whatever. Some guy banged on some glass, he might have not gotten a perfect on that arrow. Get over it. All right.
It's nerds not having enough, I don't know what you want to call it, big picture in their brain to step back and realize, okay, I'm being pretty ridiculous. That's funny, because while you were thinking that, what came to my mind was something that I'm – the same sort of way about, which is I really like the this is the only example I can think of right now, but there's others like it. From Eve, whenever they have those big posts about somebody who got bountied on them for like $1 million of the in-game money, which equals out to like $60,000 of real world money, and how like there was all this subterfuge and all these people doing crazy shit to each other, and years of espionage and like infiltrating a couple of things here and there and all this stuff. I'm just like, wow, that is so crazy. But I find it entirely fascinating. But it's one of those things where like you try and explain to someone why that's interesting. You're like, well, this is the equivalent of like $80,000 of actual real-world money that has been lost or stolen, and it's happening in a virtual space, and it's just like, no.
Except no one's dying, except for the people who, like, their appendix bursts and they don't notice.
Yeah, those aspects of it are very...
Yeah.
So anyway, it comes to that same, like, you get ashamed about getting way too into it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
the pet peeve it sounds like we all have is people who take game culture too seriously. and don't realize that gaming, at the end of the day, is not a way of life. It's a hobby, and you can only let hobbies consume you for so long. You kind of have to take a step back and say, I'm just playing a game where I shoot people. I'm not, like, this is not the end-all, be-all.
Yeah, I'm not going to, like, get in, like, the big gaming tournament and make a living off of this. I mean, some people can do that, but...
The majority of people who play games are not, raising their children with the currency made from it.
Take him up, come on, team, to the very end. I'm gonna own a big old house, get it decked out, make it a Pokemon Center. That's gonna be my house.
Dude, I can't even imagine how much money I would have to have before I would say to myself, I'm gonna theme a room like a Pokemon Center. But it would be awesome.
It would be pretty awesome.
I would just hire like this little immigrant girl to have the nurse Joy Loops in and just stand at my desk for years at a time.
And even though no one ever comes in the room.
No one ever comes in, except the police looking for her.
So, Liz, you had another one involving certain music taste.
We're about to fight.
I know, we're about to fight.
We'll end on a sweet duel.
A melding of the minds. I really don't like nerdcore.
Nerdcore rap
in general, but... there's like the concept of, I don't really like concerts in general, so I suppose that there's a little bit of a bias there, but I don't like the nerdcore where everybody knows the words and everybody goes to the concerts and everybody's singing it along. Like, there's a part of me.
Why? That is concert culture. Why don't you like that?
That is concert culture.
I hate that. It's like, we all know the words.
Wait. If you were to go to Lady Gaga. And everyone else there loves Lady Gaga. You're telling me you would be annoyed that people were all having their arms in the air singing Poker Face together?
Yeah, I want everybody to sit down.
This
their
isn't
cell phones
you hating away. Gamer culture. This is you just hating people at concerts.
That's true. I specifically find something about nerdcore really grating, though, because the lyrics, it's...
Okay, I will definitely concede, like, a lot of nerdcore... It's like, I heard this one album, and I'm not going to name drop the guy because I know a lot of people like him and I don't want people to think I'm cool.
It's Junior Spesh.
It's Junior Spesh. JAXOR 2000, calling you out, buddy. But no, like, there was this song I heard about, like, this guy just talking to all the nerd kids. It's like, yeah, I was once just like you, but now I'm getting girls every day except I play my Xbox. And
yeah, the pandering.
Come on, man. Like, it is very pandering, and, like, I do understand what you're saying. Like, there's a lot of nerdcore that's just, like, name-droppy. It's like, hey, I'm talking about Marvel vs. Capcom, Soldier vs. the World. And why do you want to hear that? It's adding nothing. But I do think there is a lot of nerdcore that is legitimately good in its own way. And
I suppose.
I find, like, that it excuses all, like, you find that in a lot of different genres. Like, you'll have rap about, like, kids talking about how they kill people. They've never touched a gun in their life. They just want to be cool.
I mean, it's
and then
the
you have, like, serious good rap.
It's the old expression, 95% of everything is crap. Like, that's probably true of nerdcore and everything
split
else.
The ears of the groundlings, for the most part, are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb music and noise.
Yeah,
I just edited you, Shakespeare. What?
No, that was good. It's like, I think... I unironically like the Soulja Boy Tell 'Em song anime because I find it bizarrely postmodern in how it's like... I attribute this to R. Kelly, too, where I think they're self-aware, but they may not be. And I think I'm giving them more credit, but it's like...
I'm giving way more credit.
It's like Soulja Boy knows how name-droppy and stupid and pandering these songs are. And he's just like, I'm going to list off names of people I look like while girls are having sex with me. And they're all kind of DBZ characters. It's very avant-garde.
Like, if it were intentional, it would be genius, but it's not. Soulja Boy just smokes a lot of weeds.
You have to let me believe those things are intentional. Otherwise, I hate America. It's like I said about Trapped in the Closet.
It's just like Santa Claus, you know? Like, it'll always be there in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Soulja Boy will always be, like...
Real
genius. Superboy is like Barack Obama's son.
There are three people in this world that I need to believe are smarter than I think they are, and that is R. Kelly, Soulja Boy Tellum, and this situation. Because if there is nothing to make me think they are, then I don't even know what I'm going to do with myself.
I can't believe this situation was in my psychology test. It was very well appreciated.
He's got to be a genius. He's notes about him. I want to believe.
I've been trying to think of another aspect of gaming culture that I find annoying. And the only thing I can think of is the things that when I would tell my mom about games or like the things I wouldn't want my mom to know about coming about games. And the one that really comes to the forefront is not necessarily like online gaming, but specifically Xbox Live gaming.
Yeah.
Right.
When Xbox Live first came out, I remember me and
VV3000.
Yeah. And him and a couple of our friends would play Halo 2 together. It was really fun. Like right when it first kind of came out and was real prevalent. And then that culture just emerged, you know? Like that first-person shooter culture, the Counter-Strike culture kind of moved over to there. And it's just the racism for racism's sake.
Yes.
You know, like none of them are actually racist.
I was
going
to mention that. Like,
but
that is unapologetically.
Yeah.
If I can unapologetically like bash the hell out of any aspect of gaming culture, it is the widespread racism that everyone seems to have on the internet.
I think it's
that
safe
makes
to
me more upset than anything else I see on the internet.
Yeah, like,
honest to goodness.
Like I really have a hard time justifying Xbox Live even to play with my friends because I only have so few friends that I actually play games with, but I would never play them online. And if I do, I put everyone on mute. Like, there's no opportunity to actually meet someone new who might be cool. Because I remember, like, in the beginning, you would actually make friends with some of the people you played with and would maybe play other games with them later. No way now.
Yeah.
Auto-mute everyone. I can only hear myself.
It's all about GG Nukes.
And then you're just playing, like, this computer. You're just playing, like, these weird computer bots, you know? That's, like, it. And it's just really the whole aspect of – I mean, it just makes me think that Nintendo isn't quite wrong about not necessarily incorporating online multiplayer into all their stuff. It's like, I don't want that. And I can see why they're afraid of making a culture like that they'd have to be responsible for.
I think there's a middle ground you can hit between Xbox Live and Nintendo friend codes, but the thing that scares me most about the Xbox Live, and I see this on lots of internet forums too, is when you hear people talking like that with the racism and the homophobia, they get so into it, like, you can find yourself slipping and starting to use those words as you hear them, like, just more frequently, like...
It's so desensitization to, like, violence.
Exactly.
Eventually,
After watching The Wire, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm swearing so much more now.
Yeah, and like, I use words, aside from the cursing, I know I have a problem with cursing, but like, I know I shouldn't use the word retarded, but that's a hard one to get. And like, I hear myself say gay sometimes, and I feel bad about that
one. I phased that one out a long time ago, because that one I always.
Yeah, it's, and like, those are so vanilla on Xbox Live.
Like... Dropping F-bombs? No, they're more frequent.
Yeah, that is their vernacular.
Yeah.
So yeah, that aspect of it, because I'm ashamed of that, and that is a large part of gaming culture. The Halo community, the Madden, the Call of Duty, all of those, those are unfortunately like some of the most popular
games.
So they get the most press, and
they're the mainstream ones.
So go ahead, Ben.
You know, out of those communities, though, like, those certain types of game communities, like, the ones that I feel do it right and still have, like, a ton of fun and don't take it too seriously are those in the fighting game community. Like, if you've ever, like, I guess my instructions to all of you, it is, but, like, there's so much, like, sarcastic trash talk that happens that you know everyone playing is having a good time.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that, like, if you haven't seen it already, Google or YouTube this video. I guess we'll put it in the show notes because it's got interesting spelling. But just look for, like, it's Marvel Baby. And, like, it's this guy playing Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And, like, there are the two guys fighting. And they just make up these ridiculous phrases as they play it. And I just see stuff like that. And it makes me happy to see that, because they're having a good time and being like really competitive, and I feel like they're doing it right.
Yeah,
like it's all also really gangster, so okay. I'm obviously drawn to that.
I wonder if people in fighting game communities are less drawn to that type of language because it's harder to crap on someone when it's a one-on-one environment. To me, anyway. Like, when you're fighting a bunch of anonymous people and you're on mm-hmm. Vent or Xbox Live headphones and there's, like, 16 dudes in the room, it's easier to start, like, talking trash.
If it's a one-on-one...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's gonna come home and kill you. You can't talk
so
trash.
That's why you make up phrases like goof troop shit.
I love Goof Troop. We touched on this earlier, but there was the one last thing I wanted to bring up. Like, I think as much as game culture gets kind of saddled with the racism and homophobia of, like, the Xbox Live crowd, I do feel bad for fans of anime that they have to get mm-hmm. saddled with the hentai culture.
Yeah,
because that's
definitely
that sucks. I mean, like, having to explain to my parents I liked anime.
Exactly.
Like, and all they think about is, like, the tentacle porn and, like, the extravagant gay hentai where everyone's got the flowing hair and is lithe is a word that's used way disproportionately to real life.
Yeah, and like girls who run around and like they quote-unquote glomp people.
Yeah, the girls who were all in junior college.
Yeah, who thinks everyone is gay.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel bad especially for people like who legitimately are interested in fan fiction and do good work. Like, that's a whole other topic in and of itself, but
we're going to have a podcast about that.
You tell people you're interested in fan fiction, and they're like, oh, like Cloud X Tifa? And it's like, no, man. Come on.
No.
Actually, Cloud X Sephiroth is the more common one.
But with anime, I guess I can see why it has such a difficult time, because the mainstream anime, the stuff that people really like, even that is pretty...
There's a lot of pandering.
It is. A lot. For example, Cowboy Bebop.
Oh my god.
We were having a discussion with my friends just recently because he's trying to get his girlfriend, who does not like any anime, to watch an anime. So their trade off is she has to watch all of Cowboy Bebop and he has to watch all of the Twilight movies.
I was like,
I don't know if that's really fair, because first up, the Twilight movies are really bad, and they're like bad because they're like the reason that like candy's bad for your teeth, bad, it rots your brain, bad. Bebop is good, but it's also like it's not gonna touch someone who likes Twilight at all. I don't think it's a fair trade, but that's kind of aside.
Person is gonna reach the other.
Exactly,
there.
Like you're not. I was like, you need to show her some Miyazaki, you know, some Princess Mononoke, something like that.
Yeah, something that would appeal to her.
So, like, when I talk about anime to like my parents, it's like a Miyazaki film because it's like, okay, they can enjoy this on any level. But anything beyond that, it's just like I couldn't show them Cowboy Bebop just because what's her name? Faye is like half naked half the time, and it's just like, But what's not
it's
fair
not
though
fair,
is like. Yeah. What's not really fair about it, I mean, this is why it happens. I can see why anime gets it because of that. But on the opposite side, you have things like HBO and Cinemax, where they have wonderful, not Cinemax, it's Showtime, have these wonderful television shows. But like a show like Dexter, every once in a while, there'll be some girl's boobs out, you know, just hanging out there. And it's just like, I understand that it could be there, but for the most part, your show isn't about
it. Doesn't
that.
Need to be.
It doesn't need to be. And so it's like, while I enjoy those that it can do that, I'm also like, this is almost the equivalent there, and it doesn't get as much of that negative publicity as someone who likes anime. Like, I can say I like Dexter, and people are like, oh, he's not a perv. But if I say I like anime, oh yeah, he's kind of a weird guy.
Yeah, but you were right though about the fan service. Like, I loved Full Metal Alchemist. I thought that was a great show. But like the main girl in the show, Winry, I think is like 14, 15 maybe.
Yeah.
And there's multiple scenes of her showering and bathing. I don't need that. I don't need that much side boob on a 14-year-old. I don't need it on anybody.
Nuts. Little nuts.
Yeah, you never see scenes of like the guys are just like, I'm gonna shower for a long time looking pensive. And if they are, they have flowing hair and they're basically women. They're like Kuja.
Yeah. So anime, they get a bad rap, but it's, I don't know, somewhat warranted. The last one I was going to bring up, and I wasn't sure if I was going to, but when we originally thought of this show topic, this was the only thing I could think of. And it's what really bothers me about gaming culture and nerd culture is the antisocial slash, like, this is the lack of social skills, and that's why they are nerds. I mean, if they had social skills, they wouldn't be nerds. But that is the piece that bothers me personally the most. And the example I give is like going to PAX and going to like the Penny Arcade Q&A section and listening to some of the questions that people ask them. I'm like, did you think through that question at all? Was that a question that you really should have asked an auditorium full of people that would have heard?
Like, do you have an example? Because I think I know what you're saying, but
let me think if I can think of one. Well, it's kind of like when you bring up those examples of like when people ask about like at BlizzCon, what's happening out in Outland now? The lore kind of question, like, so who's got the watch now in Penny Arcade? You know, because like whenever they kill one each other, the two main characters, they steal the watch. So who's got the watch now? It's like,
yeah, it's like, who cares, things, man?
Like, it's, I don't know. I feel bad because you know that part of it is just nerves, and they're so excited to ask a question. They think, oh, I'm really going to connect with those two guys. On meta. Yeah, they're going to really think of something really smart that no one else would have thought of, and they'll be like, oh, that guy's really cool because he remembered the watch. But when it's the complete opposite reaction to that, everyone's like, oh, gosh, he's going to bring that up. And so I cringe. It's those moments I cringe at, and it makes me enjoy it less because those are the things like where you can kind of show people, like, for example, Penny Arcade TV and aspects of it and be like, this is what they do, and this is nerd culture at its best. And my mom could watch that and go, oh, that's really cool. But then when they get to the part about the guy asking this question and it's really offensive, or they respond with something about nails in their dicks or dick wolves or something like that, you can't touch that. So, you know, there's that whole mom level of approval, which aside, the whole antisocial nature, like, I try and, like, give people the benefit of the doubt, and like when people are coming to the booth at PAX, I'm trying to talk them up and be real nice to them, and some of the people, they're like, oh my god, this guy is talking to me, and it's like, well, if you don't want to talk to me, then leave. But they like kind of stand there, and like they're like a deer in the headlights.
It's weird in a way. You feel bad for them because it's like they want to talk, but they don't really know how
what to do.
And so it's one of those things where it's very probably selfish of me to think that is the aspect that bothers me the most, is that I can't know you, I can't converse with you because you won't let me, and you don't have the skills to. But if you did, you probably wouldn't be here. You'd be out in the real world. So
you'd be on Jersey Shore.
at the same time, you hope for those people to, I don't know, have some sort of revelation where they finally, because, I mean, I feel that does happen. Like, probably each of us had at least some period where we were really socially awkward.
Honestly, I feel like every day I do something where I think, like, oh my god, that was so awkward, and I hate myself for the next 5 years.
I do that during the podcast basically every week.
There's
only 43 listeners, Ben. It's not that bad.
Can we have an aside and just for a minute say, do you guys,
but I digress.
We're gonna have a but I digress. You guys can all, I assume, think of things you've like said that were so embarrassing you still think of them years later, like whether you're in the shower or just laying in bed, and it like paralyzes you. Like, I can't believe I said that. I want to die.
Block those out of my mind. Like, people block out like being kidnapped by people.
I wish I had that ability, man. I wish I could take like Rohypnol after I say embarrassing things and just have my memory fade out. But yeah. I mean, I've said a lot of things that just trying to be funny that, and immediately
you're trying a little bit too hard. You can tell in like half a second where like that silence. You're like,
Or like there's not even a silence. If you see the person's face like a twitch, and you're like, oh no.
I don't know, but like maybe the difference is now that I'm older, I even when I make those or other people do, I can accept that they tried and get some value out of that. Be like, oh well, they were trying, and okay, I'll give them. And I don't. Even when it's just me, I'm like, well, okay, I was trying to say the right thing and I said the wrong thing. You know, people will deal with it, whatever. I can get past it. But yeah, when you're a kid and you want everything to be perfect, that's definitely a tough aspect.
It's true.
That's all I had for gaming culture. Does anyone have others?
Honestly, I think we covered it really well.
I think I have one final very, very quick one, though.
Is it about plushies for me?
No.
All right.
No, I don't have anything to say, Liz. I heard you had a little beef with chip music.
With what music?
Chip music.
You said sheet music, and I was going to say, I can't read the bass line.
No, neither can I. The bass clef, I don't know what's going on down there. It's not face, every boy, good, that's fine, or
is
whatever
it too up? Is it too down? It's one of those, man. I got to relearn it every time. with chip music.
But yes, chip tunes, yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say what I've said for everything else in this. I accept that the 5% of it is probably very good, but everything I've heard has been not so good.
Oh, man, we need to do an experiment and take the stuff that we think is best and see if Liz likes it. Because I feel like I'm kind of the same as Liz. Like, for the majority of it, I really don't like. But the stuff that's good, it just blows my mind. Like, Starscream is what I'm talking
about. I've talked to a fair amount of people.
Stuff by that Katanga and 8-Bit Collective? Yeah.
I've talked to a fair amount of people like trying to understand chip music, and I think I've had like at least 3 or 4 people say, in all honesty, the only stuff that's worth listening to is Onomatoguchi. Like, it shouldn't be a genre. It should just be Onomatoguchi, and no one else should do it.
No, I found at least
I'll own up to that, because I think I said that sentence to you before PAX, but then at I really discovered what chip music was.
You weren't the only one to say it to me, though.
Right.
So, I don't know. I only have so many horizons left that I can expand to. You know me. I've played 5 video games, and I recycle those same 5 games when I talk about what I play on the podcast.
I guess the really odd piece of it is that you like game music. Like, you will listen to soundtracks from games. You've told me this. And I'm like,
I do.
Oh my gosh, how can you listen to some of that music? And chiptune is, it's all about nostalgia and thinking about those sounds, but in a little more catchy, a little more well thought out. So, I don't know. I would be curious to see if you like some of the stuff that me and Ben, like, have found to be, like, what we consider to be kind of the cream of the crop sort of music. And if you really didn't like that, I would be surprised, because I think there's a lot of universal aspects to some of these pieces of music that it's just good music.
Yeah. I feel like, in a way, like, if I like Daft Punk, I feel like chiptunes is only like one step across that road.
True. But at the same time, like, they say it a lot in Reformat the Planet. Like, this stuff, either you're into it or you're not. I mean, it's just something that either you enjoy it or you don't, because it's taking this old hardware and making like really beepy music out of it. And either you're into that and like you really buy into the whole, it's like, wow, this is really cool because it's taking something from my childhood and making something new out of it, and that's really awesome. Or you're just like, buy a guitar, dude. Buy a piano. Get out of here.
Yeah, I think I asked this of the 2-player guys, and I think I may have insulted them a little bit when I asked like if they were ever planning on upgrading their chipset to Super Nintendo.
No, you didn't insult them. You just asked, that's
a really good question.
That was a good question.
No, it was very good, because I didn't know. They dropped some knowledge that...
They think that the sound there is just too good. I was like, oh, okay.
No, what it was is that the Nintendo is capable of sampling, and that's what most of the sounds come from. So it's not really a set sound that you're getting from the Super Nintendo at that point.
Yeah, like, I don't listen to any music from earlier than SNES. I can listen to basic themes from the Nintendo, maybe like
Castlevania?
As like a ringtone.
Castlevania is so good.
I just find it tinny.
Fair enough.
That's like on American Idol when they don't like how someone sounds and they're like, it's pitchy. It doesn't mean anything. But yeah, I'll give it a try for you guys to expand my horizons for you and for the viewing audience. Maybe I'll play 6 games one day.
All right.
Well, I think we've covered it all.
Let's end it out.
Yeah.
Fan Gamer Podcast, closing it out here on a wonderful show, number 46.
Yeah, this is good. Thanks for the suggestion, Liz. I underestimated this topic.
I did too, honestly. I pitched it and I was like, yeah, I can be angry for an hour. And I was like, that's not a podcast. But as we flexed the topic out and really stretched it, I think we got some good juice out of that orange.
The more we learn about making a podcast and what things work and don't, I mean, if you guys think about it, we're kind of, our 1 year anniversary is
December
8th. Is it really? I thought it was in November that we first did. I think maybe that's when we first talked about it, and then December is when we first actually went out the door.
I don't know what you're talking about. This podcast didn't exist until after PAX when I joined.
It is funny how these things seem to happen after PAX. Like, Garrett, you and I didn't really join the company until after the last PAX.
That's true. I officially asked after the last PAX, and then I was like, we need someone to run Twitter. it should be Liz.
Yeah, the first podcast, Evolution, was on 12/8/09.
We're coming up.
I want you guys to know that I cried when you didn't choose me to be the Twitter person. What? Just kidding.
Don't say
I was kidding.
Job.
Master schedule.
I'm gonna tweet about what a jerk you are.
Okay.
Do it.
Next
I will.
Week's
see if I care.
Show topic. Doesn't even remember. I don't remember.
Oh,
it's a good one.
Four is not the next
week? Yes, I'm really excited for this one. It's what you're thankful for in gaming.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for this because I've actually thought about it earlier today, like things. And actually, unfortunately, the first one I thought of isn't actually gaming, so to speak. It's like, I really am thankful for Netflix. I love Netflix. There are so many.
Well, I mean, it's tangentially related. It's like, hey, you get it on a gaming console.
Yeah. I mean, I watch it on my PlayStation, so it's kind of...
So now that you just ruined next week's podcast by listing
whatever.
Your very first thing.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't really gaming. That's to whet people's appetites. They're going to get really...
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited to hear
games. Oh, man, they're going to talk about things that aren't related to games.
Whoa.
People get mad about that sometimes.
Gloves off.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and close out the show.
It's been another week of the Fangamer Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the variable quality of this week's edition, and we hope to see you next week for podcast number 47, Things We Are Thankful For. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.
Variable quality.
That's such like a... That was like the most veiled insult ever.
That's Liz's specialty.